the experience of Paul and Silas in Philippi. And the title of the talk is The Christian Life is a Life of Sacrifice. Hari ini kita lihat kehidupan pengalaman Paul and Silas di Philippi dengan tajuk Hidup Seorang Christian, Hidup Penuh Dengan Pengorbanan. Now, every time a mother, a married woman becomes pregnant and has a baby in a womb, that woman is actually putting her life at risk. There is a risk not only to the child but to the mother during the period of pregnancy, even during delivery. There's a risk, a probability that the mother may die because of some complication. In our modern society, we have doctors and hospitals very nearby. We don't see such a problem. But in the poorer countries, where doctors are few, hospitals are not well equipped, many women, many mothers die during the pregnancy or even at childbirth. Right, so boys and girls, learn to value your mothers. In fact, all of us, our mothers were put at risk by us when we were brought into this world. And in some animals, in the animal kingdom, the mother literally gives her life for her offspring. For example, in the octopus, some species of octopuses, when the mother, the female octopus, lays her eggs, she does not eat anything until the babies hatch out. And the period of starvation can last from anything up to 50 days or even more. And by the time the baby octopus hatch out, the mother is so weak, she literally dies. She dies of starvation. So she gives her life for her offspring. And it is a fact of life. Every day we see things being given up, being sacrificed for something. Now, if we do not have electricity and we are cold, we want to start a fire. So what do? We take wood and we burn it. From the burning wood, we get heat and we get light. But what happens to the wood? Eventually, the wood is reduced to ashes. Nothing much is left of it. It's burnt up. Right? We value white teeth. So we brush our teeth with toothpaste every day. The toothpaste is something like a sandpaper. Liquid sandpaper, and every time we brush, the toothpaste is actually removing the outer layer of our teeth to remove the plaque, remove the dirt stuck there, and to keep our teeth white. In our daily lives, those of us who are earning a living to support our families, we have to sacrifice our time away from our families, time away from the things that we enjoy, our hobbies and so forth, to work, to earn a living, to support our families, although we would prefer to be with them as much as possible. For some of us, we have to spend extended periods away from our families, so we sacrifice. And in the words of our Lord, in His own words, in John chapter 12, verse 24, He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." The Lord Jesus is saying, if you have a seed, whether it is rice or wheat, if you leave it alone, it remains one seed, one grain. You can't do much with it. You eat it, you won't feel anything. But if you plant the seed, that grain, the rice or the wheat, it dies, it changes form. It grows up into a plant, and when it matures, it produces many grains. So from one seed of rice, you can perhaps get 50 or 100 or 200 grains of rice. So from one seed, if you plant it and let it die and change its form into a plant, you get a tremendous harvest and it will be useful to us. So the seed has to die before it fully benefits us. The Lord Jesus is telling us that the Christian life, the life lived for Him, is the life of sacrifice. Dalam hidup ini penuh dengan pengorbanan. kita lihat di mana-mana pengorbanan itu berlaku. Seorang ibu yang ada bayi dalam rahim dia, dia boleh mengorban nyawa dia untuk bayi itu. Kerana ada risiko bahawa ibu itu boleh mati dalam masa kehamilan dia. Kita mau ingin cahaya dan kepanasan, kita membakar sebatang kayu. Kayu itu dibakar dan dia hangus, dia jadi abu untuk memberi kita kepanasan dan cahaya. Hidup ini penuh dengan pengorbanan. Yesus Kristus sendiri mengatakan kepada kita, sebuah biji gandum, kalau dia tidak ditanam dalam tanah dan mati, dia tidak berguna. Tapi kalau kita tanam biji itu, dan biar dia mati dan membesar, dia menjadi pertumbuhan yang matang, dan dia mengeluarkan banyak biji, baru itu berguna kepada kita. So, hidup seorang Kristian itu adalah hidup pengorbanan. Now we see here Paul and Silas. They went on the second missionary journey. They were members of the Antioch church. Paul is a well-known missionary, an apostle. Silas was a prophet. And they were sent out by the church of Antioch to go around and preach the gospel. And eventually they came to this city called Philippi, which is a Roman colony. And God led them to meet up with Lydia, a businesswoman who sold this purple cloth. And she believed in the Lord Jesus Christ because God opened her heart and prepared her to receive the good news. And she persuaded Paul and Silas to stay in her house, which they did. And they continued to go out and preach the word of God. And one day, this slave girl which was possessed by a spirit, which was possessed by a demon, she was given this gift, this ability to see things which people could not see. Or pretend to be able to see. For example, like in Malaysia, some months ago, this girl, Shalini, she 5-year-old girl, she went missing. Somebody kidnapped her from her home. She's still missing, unfortunately. And then one fine day, these 40 bomos, these 40 mediums, Malay mediums from Perak, they came to her house and spoke to her parents and said, "Don't worry, we have seen a vision. All of us, all 40 of us have seen a vision, and within a week, your daughter will be home with you." That was their assurance, 40 of them. And since we know, the facts are that she's still missing. So these people, these mediums, they believe, they think that they have this ability to see what others could not see, with the help of spirits or demons. So this girl was had a similar ability. Perhaps people will come to her and ask her, I've lost this ring, can you help me find it? So she'll go into a trance and say, okay, you search around your house, it is in the rice pot or something like that. They will come to her and ask her, can you tell me my future? Is this person am I supposed to marry this person? Is this business good for me? Shall I go into it? And so forth. And so they will come to her for advice, and when she pretended to give them her advice, based on the leading of the Spirit, these people will go away happy and they will pay money. Not to her, but to her owners. This is a slave girl. And her owners made money from her. And this slave girl went around following this Paul and Silas, proclaiming the truth. You see, the demons, the spirits, when they are faced with the Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, they cannot say anything except the truth. And so this slave girl, for whatever reason, followed Paul and Silas and was declaring openly that these were the servants of God and they were preaching the good news of the gospel. Now Paul tolerated this for a while until one day he just got fed up of her pronunciation, turned around and cast the demon out from her. He tolerated for a few days, although he knew that this demon, this spirit-possessed, filled girl was telling the truth. Eventually he got sick of it, turned around and cast the spirit out, and that's when the trouble started. The owners of the slave girl, they realized that, hey, this girl is now an ordinary slave girl. We cannot make money from her anymore. The people will not come to her for advice. So they got angry. They got mad. They got hold of Paul and Silas, falsely accused them of causing disturbance, teaching false doctrines. Caught hold of them, dragged them to the magistrates, falsely accused them, and the magistrates sided with the owners of the slave girl, had them beaten, had them jailed, had them thrown into jail. But throughout this bad experience of Paul and Silas, they maintained a good witness. They maintained a good witness before God and before men. And God rewarded them for their sacrifice. So kita lihat pengalaman Paulus dan Silas ini. Mereka dalam perjalanan yang kedua untuk menginjil di merata-rata tempat. Dan mereka bertemu dengan seorang wanita yang bernama Lydia. Dan Lydia ini percaya kepada Tuhan. Dan mereka tinggal di rumah Lydia. Dan semasa mereka di Filipi, semasa mereka menginjil di sana, ada seorang perempuan kecil yang dikuasai oleh syaitan. Dan perempuan ini mengikut Paulus dan Silas dan memberitahu orang ramai bahawa kedua-dua orang ini adalah pengikut Yesus Kristus. Dan mereka menginjil. Dan Paulus itu, dia tahan wanita ini untuk beberapa hari. Dan kemudian dia tidak boleh tahan lagi. Dia memerintah iblis itu untuk keluar dari perempuan itu. Dan wanita itu dipunyai oleh orang-orang lain. Dan tuan wanita ini, mereka marah. Dan mereka menangkap Paulus dan Silas. Dan mereka dipukulin dan dimasuk ke dalam penjara. Dan dalam pengalaman yang pahit ini, semasa mereka dipukul, semasa mereka di penjara, Paulus dan Silas tidak membuat apa-apa untuk memalukan Yesus Kristus. Hidup mereka, pengorbanan mereka dilihat oleh orang ramai dan diterima oleh Tuhan. Dan Tuhan memberkati mereka untuk pengorbanan mereka. Okay. Now, let's learn something about sacrifice, right, from these passages. First of all, let us learn what sacrifice is not to God. What is not acceptable to God. Now, in all religions, whatever gods or goddesses you in this world that we worship, people give offerings to them. Right? One of the more bloody ones would be the Incas and the Mayas of ancient times. These were people, a group of people who live in South America, and they believe that their sun god required the hearts of human beings, no, to be satisfied, to be happy. And so these Inca people, they will capture slaves, they will bring them to their temples, and while the slaves are still alive, they will cut open the chest of the slave and take out the beating heart and offer it to their gods. So this is something horrible, but this is what people offer to their gods. Today we are more civilized. In places like Myanmar, people will spend money, they will buy gold, have it beaten into thin sheets, and they will offer it up to their Buddha by sticking it onto the pagoda. If you go to Myanmar, you will see pagodas which are gold, literally lined with gold, because people offer. There are people who break coconuts, that's an offering. We do that very often in India, is when we start a new plant, the people want Ganesh to bless the machinery, so we break coconuts all over the place. Some people shave their heads, some people pierce their bodies, some people give away their money to the temples. There are some people who still kill animals and offer up their blood. Some people offer flowers, fruits, cakes. Some people burn paper houses, paper Mercedeses, and so forth. And people give, they sacrifice to their gods in order to keep their gods happy. They want the gods to bless them, bless their business. They ask their gods to don't disturb us. We are offering you these things, so you leave us alone. Don't curse us, don't disturb us, just leave us alone. If you are not happy, that's all, never mind. Just stay away, stay where you are. Right? So some people, they have prayed to their gods and they believe that they have received their answer from their gods, and so they want to offer a sacrifice in appreciation to their gods. But always, when the people of this world, when they sacrifice something to their gods, there's always a selfish motive, right? They want something from these people up there. Bless me. No? Give me good health. Give me good business. This and that. Or, leave me alone. Don't disturb me. No? Because they believe they are nasty gods. Gods which are out to cause trouble. So they offer to these gods and say, go away. Stay away. No? Don't bother us. Leave us alone. But if you seriously think, we are educated, we can think. Why? We ask the question. Why does a god, all gods, who we believe are more powerful than us, greater than us, more knowing than us, why should they need anything from us? We think. If they are so powerful, they are so great, they should be able to take care of themselves. Why would they want anything from us? Why would they want to live in the house that we built? Why would they want to eat the oranges that we offer on the altar? Why? If they are so great, they should take care of us, not we take care of them. The one true God, the real God, the God that we worship, the God whom we know from the Bible, He does not need our sacrifices. He does not need our gifts to keep Him alive and to keep Him happy. No. He is totally independent of us. In Isaiah chapter 40 verse 25 it says, to whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal to? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. God asks us, look around you. Can you imagine me? Can you find something that is my equal? Can you explain my creation? Can you number all the things that I have done? Our God is quite capable of taking care of Himself. He has no need of us, and He does not want anything that we may have. We can burn a Mercedes to Him and it's of no use to Him. A real one. No use. Because He is the one who created us. And we belong to Him. And all that we have belong to Him. And we are in no position to bargain with Him. Who are we? God says we are worse than, smaller than ants. We cannot say, God, if you bless me, I will give you this, 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 this. God, if you do this for me, I will do this for you. You don't bargain with God. No. Think about it. In this world, whatever we have does not fully satisfy us. Whatever we can get in this world does not satisfy us. Clothes go out of fashion. Right? They go round and round actually. What is out of fashion today may be in fashion again 5 years down the road or 10 years down the road. For example, your bell bottoms. During my school days, they were hot. Then it disappeared for a while, then it came back again. Today, your spectacles, with all the snazzy shapes and designs, you think they are new? They are not. They were in fashion in the 1950s. If you don't believe me, look in the magazines, look at the shapes of those spectacles. Maybe the color was not so colorful, but the shapes are almost similar. So, the things that we have don't satisfy us. You think when you give this to God, He will be satisfied. Come on, be realistic. What cannot satisfy us will not satisfy our God. No. God does not want whatever we can give Him because they already belong to Him. He does not need all these things. We have nothing that He wants. Nothing in our hands that He wants. For this, the sacrifice, what sacrifice is not to God. So pengajaran yang kita mau pelajari dari pengalaman Silas, Paul and Silas adalah satu. Apa itu pengorbanan yang tidak diterima oleh Tuhan? Dalam dunia ini kita banyak agama. Dalam agama, penganut-penganut agama itu mereka mengorban kepada dewa-dewa mereka. Ada orang yang mengorbankan binatang, ada orang yang mengorbankan buah-buahan, bunga, wang, semacamnya. Ada orang yang mencukur kepala mereka atau apapun. Mereka memberi apa yang mereka ada dalam tangan kepada dewa-dewa mereka. Dan mereka percaya bahawa dengan ini, dewa-dewa itu akan puas. Dewa-dewa itu akan gembira dengan apa yang kita boleh memberi kepada mereka. Tapi kita mesti ingat, mesti fikir. Dalam dunia ini, apa yang kita ada itu pun tidak memuaskan kita. Tidak membawa kegembiraan kepada kita. Bagaimana kita boleh memuaskan Tuhan kita? Tuhan yang kita percaya dalam Injil. Tuhan yang kita menyembah dalam Injil ini. Dialah yang mereka semua yang membuat dunia ini. Semua yang kita lihat itu, semua yang kita ada itu adalah kepunyaan dia. Dia tidak perlu apa yang kita ada. Kerana ini semua adalah kepunyaan dia. Apa yang kita boleh beri kepada dia pun tak ada guna. Tidak akan memuaskan dia. Kerana benda-benda yang kita ada pun tidak memuaskan kita. Sebanyak wang yang kita ada pun tidak akan memuaskan kita. Sebanyak harta atau apapun tidak akan memuaskan kita. Bagaimana kita boleh fikir bahawa apa yang kita ada akan memuaskan Tuhan kita? Tidak. Tuhan kita, Tuhan Yehova dalam Injil, tidak mahu apa-apapun dari kepunyaan kita. So what is sacrifice to God? What is the offering that is acceptable to Him? Now, very often when we give a gift to a person, we see that person, right? We don't give a car to our 5-year-old boy. Huh? It's crazy, isn't it? You're not ready to handle it. So we must see the person. We must consider the person receiving the offering. Look at the example of Abel and Cain and Abel. Both, they were the first offspring of Adam and Eve. And both worshipped God. And they came to God with their offerings, with their sacrifices. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering." God accepted Abel's sacrifice because his was in accordance to God's wishes. The sacrifice of an animal. The life of an animal. That's exactly what he wanted. Because that is exactly what God did after Adam and Eve sinned. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 21, it says here, "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them." When God created Adam and Eve, they were naked. They had no problems with that. After they sinned against God, they were afraid of their nakedness. And so they refused to come before God. So God made tunics. Tunics means covering of skin. Where does the skin come from? Animals. Now when you take the skin from the animal, can the animal still live? Can it survive? No. So God had to kill the animals, take their skin, and cover Adam and Eve. There was bloodshed. A life or lives were taken to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness, to cover their sins. To worship God in a way that pleases Him, Abel had to kill an animal, take his fat and the blood, and offer it to God. Cain, being the elder boy, I don't know why, but he thought, "I'm a farmer, so I will give my fruits and my vegetables and his offering to God." But it was not accepted. Because his offering, although maybe from a sincere heart, was not in accordance to God's instructions. It did not meet God's requirements. Our sins have separated us from God. Our sins have pushed us away far from God. And our sins cannot be washed away. Our sins cannot be taken away by anything that we have or by anything that we can do. Imagine you have oily hands. You worked on your bicycle, your hands are black with grease. Or you went to the kitchen and you cooked, and you have oil all over your hands. You take water and you wash. You can wash for 100 years and the oil and the grease will still be on your hands. They will not go away. You went to play rugby or football and you come back with a face full of mud. You are dirty. You take a piece of dirty cloth and you wipe your face. You can wipe for 100 years and your face will still be dirty. We are sinners. We are sinful. We cannot make ourselves clean. We cannot make ourselves acceptable to God by whatever we give. But God took the first step. He offered a sinless man to die for sinners like us. In 1 John chapter 4 verse 9 it says, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loves us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In giving his only Son for us. As the perfect sacrifice, he has given us the example. Out of love and mercy for us, he provided the way of removing our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ took our place. Where we could not obey God's laws perfectly, the Lord Jesus Christ did. Where we were supposed to suffer for our sins, the Lord Jesus Christ took our place on the cross. He was our propitiation. It's a big word, but it just basically means the one who brings us together. In Christ, we are reunited with God after dealing with our sins. Our sins are placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. His obedience is given to us. And then we are made acceptable to God. So what is the sacrifice acceptable to God? He gave his only Son for us. He expects nothing less. No, I don't mean we give our children to him as an offering. No. He doesn't want anything from us. He doesn't want our material things. He doesn't want our children. But he wants us. In Psalms chapter 61, we read earlier, verse 16, it says, "For you, O God, do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a contrite heart. These you will not despise." God wants us to sacrifice ourselves. He wants us to sacrifice our false pride. No? Sinful man is pretty proud, no? They think they are good. They think we can achieve anything. We can do it. We can make God accept us by our works, by our sacrifices, by our good things. We can make him accept us and earn our way into heaven. We are full of pride and we think that we can live up to God's standards. The Ten Commandments we can obey. But that's not true. The Lord Jesus Christ said, you know the commandment says you shall not murder. Yes, none of us have murdered. I hope not, right? We are all free. We are not murderers. We have not killed anybody. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, the moment you have hated somebody, the moment you have been angry with anybody, without just cause, you have broken that law. You have murdered that person in your heart. By hating him, by being angry with that person, therefore you have broken that law. And I'm quite sure, all of us have broken that law. So what are we to be proud of? We are not good. There's no righteousness in us. God wants us to sacrifice our self-righteousness. We think that, hey, I'm a good person, I earn a decent living, I'm educated, I'm not like that drug addict, I'm not like that murderer in jail, I'm not like Hitler, I'm not like Pol Pot, I'm not like Mao Zedong, whatever, I'm a good person. That is false. If God let us go, if God allows the Holy Spirit leaves us to do whatever we want, I can believe all of us here can be a Hitler. Every one of us here can be a Mao Zedong and kill millions of people, if God allows it. But by God's grace, He does not. So there's nothing good in us. So we must sacrifice our self-righteousness, our pride, and come humbly to God and confess our sins to Him. We have sinned against Him first, and we have sinned against our fellow men. We must confess our sins and seek His forgiveness. We must say sorry to Him. It's very difficult to say sorry, isn't it? Right? Even to a fellow human being, for a small problem also we have difficulty. What more to our God? But we must humble ourselves. We must sacrifice our pride, everything that we have, and come to Him and say sorry. And admit that His way is better, not ours. Look at our society, struggling to be happy, but nothing comes out of what we do. Because we think, by our own sacrifice for this and for that, we can achieve what we want and ultimately gain the happiness and the satisfaction that we are all seeking for. But God wants us to empty ourselves. Empty ourselves of any idea that we can be good enough for Him. Empty ourselves of any idea that we have something that He wants in our hands, that we can give it to Him so we have an exchange. No. He wants us. He wants us to sacrifice ourselves to Him because He gave His Son for us. Apakah pengorbanan yang diinginkan oleh Tuhan? Apa yang Dia mahu dari kita? Kita lihat contoh Abel dan Cain. Dua anak Adam dan Hawa. Abel membawa binatang, lemak binatang yang dia sudah bunuh dan diberi kepada Tuhan. Dan Tuhan menerima dia. Tuhan menerima pengorbanan dia. Cain membawa sayur-sayuran, buah-buahan, dan pengorbanan itu ditolak oleh Tuhan. Mengapa? Kerana Abel mengikut pengorbanan yang diinginkan oleh Tuhan. Selepas Adam dan Hawa berdosa terhadap Tuhan, Tuhan menutupi badan mereka dengan kulit binatang. Dan binatang itu, nyawa binatang itu perlu dikorbankan untuk mendapatkan kulit untuk menutupi badan Adam dan Hawa. Ini menunjukkan bahawa Tuhan mahu kita mengorbankan nyawa untuk dosa-dosa kita. Dan Tuhan menunjuk pengorbanan yang sempurna bila Dia mengorbankan anak Dia, Yesus Kristus, disalib untuk dosa-dosa kita. Itulah pengorbanan yang diterima, yang sah diterima oleh Tuhan. Dan apa yang Tuhan mahu dari kita? Bukan anak-anak kita lah. Dia mahu kita sendiri. Tuhan mahu kita mengorbankan nyawa kita kepada Dia. Tuhan mahu kita pergi kepada Dia, bertaubat untuk dosa-dosa kita, meminta maaf, meminta ampun dari Dia. Tuhan mahu kita percaya kepada Yesus Kristus, datang kepada Dia. Kita tidak perlu percaya kepada kebaikan kita sendiri atau cuba memenangi berkat dari Tuhan. Kerana Tuhan tidak mahu apa-apa pun dari kita. Peter was very proud of himself. Remember, he boasted to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Everybody will run away from you but not me. I will be with you until I die." And what happened to Peter? As the Lord Jesus Christ prophesied, he denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. Three times, "No, I don't know who he was, who he is. No, I'm not his friend." Three times. Peter was humble. Peter was emptied of his pride before God could use him mightily. Remember Peter when his first sermon in Jerusalem, 3,000 souls were saved. When Peter sacrificed his pride to God, God used him mightily. And look at Paul. Paul was a Pharisee, one of the best. He was heading for the top position in the Pharisees' organization. He believed that salvation came by obeying man-made laws. He believed that he was good enough to be saved by God because he obeyed all these laws. And he attacked the church. He hated Christians. He was happy when Stephen was stoned to death until God blinded him physically on the way to Damascus. God blinded him. But God opened his spiritual eyes to see his need for the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul was emptied of his self-righteousness and his pride, and he came to God for mercy. And God used him mightily. Paul was used by God to write most of the New Testament. And Paul went around giving his life, preaching. And through his preaching, thousands and thousands of people were saved. God wants nothing from us except that we empty ourselves of our self-sufficiency and come to Him and to depend upon Him totally for our salvation, for our life all on this earth, and for our life to come. That is the sacrifice that God wants us. Kita lihat Petrus. Dia sangat bangga kepada sendiri. Dia percaya dia ada berkata kepada Yesus Kristus, semua orang akan lari dari kamu, tapi saya tidak. Saya akan taat kepada kamu sampai saya mati. Tapi Petrus, apa yang terjadi? Dia kata 3 kali bahawa dia tidak kenal Yesus Kristus. 3 kali. Sampai dia, kebanggaan dia hilang. Dia dikosongkan oleh Tuhan dari kebanggaan dia. Dan dia selepas itu, dia diguna dengan oleh Tuhan. Paulus, dia percaya bahawa dia boleh mengikut semua undang-undang dengan teliti dan masuk ke syurga. Tapi Tuhan mengosongkan dia dari kebaikan dia sendiri. Baru dia tahu bahawa dia perlu Yesus Kristus untuk masuk ke syurga. So you learn what is sacrifice that's not acceptable to God. And what is the sacrifice that God wants from us? Thirdly, let's look at the lessons from the sacrificial experience of Paul and Silas here in Philippi. First lesson, do not expect the world to appreciate your sacrifice for God. In John chapter 15, verse 20, the Lord Jesus says, remember the word that I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Paul and Silas, what were they doing? They came to Philippi to bring the good news of salvation to the people there. But what happened? They ended up being badly beaten. They ended up being jailed. What was wrong? What happened that caused this trouble? Paul freed this slave girl from demon possession. It's horrible to be possessed by a demon, you know. If those of you who have been to temples and have met with mediums who claim to be possessed by spirits, it's a very scary experience. These people who are possessed by demons or spirits, their faces change. Because their lives are all upside down. They are controlled by these spirits. And their faces change. They seem to be darker. They're always thinner. There are some fat ones. But they always seem to be darker. They look different. And when you go near them, your hair stands. And it's not a good thing to be possessed by a spirit. And here Paul has freed this girl from demon possession. She's free now. You should be happy for her. But no. The owners of this girl, she was a slave, the owners of this girl were mad. Why? It says here in verse 19, it says, but when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas. So the owners of the slave girl, they were angry. Our source of income, gone. Why? Because Paul has freed this girl from demon possession. Now she is just an ordinary slave girl. Nobody will come to her for advice nobody will give us money anymore. Oh, they got angry, they got mad. They were not bothered about Paul's message of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were not bothered about their eternal souls. They were only bothered about now, the profit that they could get from the girl. They were not bothered about this news about salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. They were more concerned about physical and not spiritual things. So they could not appreciate what Paul did. They could not appreciate Paul's and Silas's message about the Lord Jesus Christ. Our values in this world is totally screwed up. Not just during Paul's time, but even now today. You know, a good football player in the English Premier League, one of them, he earns 1 million ringgit a week. 1 million ringgit a week just kicking a ball around. Of course, he does it pretty well lah. He can score goals and all that, and people like it. Huh? But the farmer, the man who struggles in the field growing rice and growing wheat to feed us, many of them have hardly enough to support their families. When we are starving, when we have no food, you think watching TV, seeing 22 madmen running after a leather ball, will that satisfy your hunger? I doubt it. Try and see. Forgo your breakfast, lunch and your dinner and watch football all day long. Will you be satisfied? I doubt it. So the value of this world is upside down. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this world 2,000 years ago to give himself for our sins and bring us back to God. But what happened to him? The world rejected him. The world mocked him. The world killed him. And the world today, sinful people of the world today, will continue to reject the message of Christ. They will continue to reject Christians so long as God does not open their eyes and their hearts. So, if we are Christians, if we are actively witnessing for God, do not expect gratitude from those you witness to. Do not expect a thank you. Very often, they will ignore you. Very often, they will listen to you politely and then shoo you away. But there are some who will not only disagree with you, they will become aggressive and they will abuse you, they will attack you. Remember the Lord's words, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. This is what happened to Paul and Silas. They came to bring good news. But did these people appreciate? No. They threw them into prison and beat them up instead. So we as Christians, let's have this mindset. The world will not think that we are doing them a favor by bringing them the gospel. They will think of us as a nuisance. Nuisance, they say. Kacau ni. But that should not stop us. What our Lord Jesus Christ has experienced, we will experience also. But our duty is to continue witnessing. Continue sharing to those who will listen to us. Yes, we have shared with this person, he refuses to listen, he chases away. Never mind, there are other people. If my neighbor doesn't listen to me, my children will listen to me. My relatives will listen to me. I will continue and continue. I will not shut up. We do not need thank yous from the world. We do not need gratitude from sinners. So do not expect any from them. Just like Paul and Silas. Now, pelajaran pertama yang kita mau pelajari dari pengalaman Paulus dan Silas ialah dunia ini tidak akan berterima kasih kepada kita, kepada Kristian, untuk pengorbanan mereka. Paul dan Silas datang ke Filipi untuk menginjil, untuk memberi berita baik mengenai Yesus Kristus. Supaya orang yang percaya akan pergi ke syurga. dosa-dosa mereka akan diampunkan dan mereka akan pergi ke syurga. Tapi orang ini, adakah mereka berterima kasih kepada Paul dan Silas? Tidak. Paul dan Silas, mereka menolong wanita ini yang dimasuki oleh syaitan, oleh iblis. Orang ini dibebaskan dari syaitan. Seharusnya kita merasa gembira kerana orang ini diselamatkan. Tapi tuan punya wanita ini, mereka naik marah kerana pendapatan mereka sudah hilang. Mereka tangkap Paulus dan Silas dan pukul mereka dan masukkan mereka ke dalam penjara. Mereka tidak berterima kasih langsung kepada Paulus dan Silas untuk berita baik mengenai Yesus Kristus. Itu dalam dunia ini, bila kita menginjil, kita jangan-jangan mau ingin fikir bahawa dunia ini akan berterima kasih kepada kita. Yesus Kristus datang untuk mati dan hidup untuk kita, tapi dunia dia masa itu mereka menghindari dia, menjejaki dia dan membunuh dia. Dunia ini masih tidak akan terima Yesus Kristus selagi Tuhan tidak membuka mata mereka. So pengalaman Yesus Kristus adalah pengalaman kita juga. Tapi kita jangan putus asa. Walaupun orang marah kepada kita, walaupun orang menghalau kita, kita masih terus menginjil. Kita masih terus memberitahu orang ramai mengenai berita baik Yesus Kristus. Dan dia yang disalibkan. Right. So first lesson, do not expect the world to appreciate our sacrifice. Second lesson, never cease to give the sacrifice of praise to God. Paul and Silas were very badly treated. They were falsely accused, their toes were torn from their backs, and they were beaten with rods, most likely iron rods. Many times, there is a Jewish law that any criminal cannot be beaten more than 40 times. We don't know. Maybe Paul and Silas were beaten more than 40 times. In Malaysia, when a criminal is sentenced to caning with a rotan, he is made to wear a special corset here to protect his body. And during the process, a doctor must be on standby. Every time the guy is hit, the doctor will examine the fellow and check his health. Maybe after 5 times, he sentenced his 10 times. Maybe after 5 times, the doctor says, this man is going already. You have to stop. They take precautions against over hurting the person, even a criminal. But here, Paul and Silas, we are quite sure there are no doctors on standby. Right? And they were almost half naked because their clothes were torn from their backs and they were beaten many, many times and most likely with metal rods. And that was not enough. They were already suffering from their wounds. Perhaps they were bleeding. They were taken to jail and the jailer was told to secure them. And that's what the jailer did. Put them into the deepest part of the prison. And that was not enough. He locked up their legs, maybe with chains or with pieces of wood so that they could not move around. They were in the deepest part of the prison, the worst part. Smelly, dark, and probably with rats running around. They were suffering. They were sacrificing themselves for the sake of Christ. So imagine today, amongst us here, if we went through the same experience, we're falsely accused, we're beaten, we're thrown into jail, in the worst part of the prison somewhere, how will we feel? I won't be surprised if some of us will begin complaining against God. We will say, God, I have served you faithfully. I've left home. I've left my career for you. Why you allow this thing to happen to me? Some people will be brave enough and accuse God of being unloving, unfair, unkind. You know, we like to do that. No? Point our fingers here and there. And even dare to point our fingers at God and accuse Him of being unkind to us. We sacrifice everything to you. Why can't you treat me better? You see? Those of us who dare not accuse God, then we turn our attention to the people who persecute us. We will get angry at our persecutors. We will pray that God will punish them. We will make our minds that they will not hear the gospel from us anymore. They do not deserve it. And those of, there are those of us who, because of this bad suffering, all this suffering, we begin to feel self-pity. We wallow in our self-pity. We say, why God, why this happened to me? Why? And we become afraid. And we withdraw into ourselves. And we shut our mouths. And we stop witnessing. We stop serving God. We say, enough is enough. I suffered enough. We stop. But not Paul and Silas. Not Paul and Silas. They had the same spirit in them as Job. You remember the man Job? He lived sometimes at the same time as Abraham, and he was one of the wealthiest men in the East. But God allowed Satan to take away his family, his fortune, and eventually his health. Everything taken away from him. He had left with nothing. Even his wife left him. What did Job say? In Job chapter 1, verse 21, it says, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. These are the words of Job. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Job, Paul, and Silas, they knew that their God was sovereign. They knew that their God was in control of everything. And that everything that happened to them, whether good or bad, has been determined by God for a purpose. They knew that they were serving God. They knew that whatever happened, there was a purpose because God was in control of it. So what did Paul and Silas do? You see here in verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Paul and Silas were worshipping God. Instead of resting from their wounds, feeling sorry for one another, feeling angry at God, feeling angry at their enemies, they were worshipping God. They were praising Him. Pelajaran kedua yang kita mesti pelajari dari pengalaman Paulus dan Silas adalah kita mesti sentiasa menyembah Tuhan. Kita mesti sentiasa berterima kasih kepada Dia. Kita lihat Paulus dan Silas ini. Mereka dipukul. Mereka dimasukkan dalam penjara. Walaupun mereka hanya menginjil. Mereka tidak buat apa-apa yang salah. Tetapi mereka dibuang ke dalam penjara. Mereka dipukul. Teruk. Tapi mereka tidak merasa marah kepada Tuhan. Kebanyakan orang, bila mereka ditemui dengan malapetaka, mereka akan marah kepada Tuhan. Atau marah kepada orang yang membuat kacau kepada mereka. Atau kita akan berasa putus asa dan terus diam, tak mau buat apa-apa pun untuk Tuhan lagi. Tapi Paulus dan Silas tidak. Mereka percaya kepada Tuhan. Mereka tahu bahawa Tuhan itu mengawal semua yang ada dalam dunia ini. Mereka percaya bahawa apa yang terjadi kepada mereka itu, walaupun buruk, walaupun mereka dimasukkan dalam penjara, mereka tahu ini adalah kemahuan Tuhan. Tuhanlah yang mengawal semua ini. Nah, apa yang mereka buat? Dalam penjara, dalam kesakitan, mereka tidak rasa marah atau merasa kecil hati. Mereka terus menyembah Tuhan. Mereka berdoa kepada Tuhan dan mereka menyembah kepada Tuhan. Dan banduan-banduan di keliling mereka dengar doa mereka. Dengar penyembahan mereka. When they should have been resting to recover from their beating, they were praying and they were singing praises to God. Their faith in God Almighty was not weakened. Their joy of serving Him was not dampened. They knew that everything that had happened to them was willed by God for a purpose. And they knew that it was an honor for them to suffer for Christ's sake. In 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 16, it says here, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Christians, we suffer, right, for our faith. Sometimes, we suffer for our own mistakes. If I'm a Christian and I cheated somebody and I'm caught, I'm thrown into prison for a few years, there's nothing for me to be proud about. Or say, oh, I'm in prison because I'm a Christian. You are in prison because of your dishonesty. But if you are thrown into prison for witnessing for Christ like Paul and Silas did, if you are troubled, you are persecuted for your faith, then you have reason to be joyful because you are suffering for the name of Christ. And this is exactly what Paul and Silas did. They put their lips to good use. Too often we use our lips wrongly. To complain, to criticize, all for the wrong reason. But Paul and Silas, they prayed and they praised God. Instead of cursing and complaining, they were praying and praising God. They prayed together for God to support them and to comfort them, to relieve their pain. They prayed that their joy in Christ would increase, even as their suffering increased. And they prayed. They prayed that God would be merciful to their enemies, to be merciful to the owners of the slave girl. They prayed for God to be merciful to the judges, the magistrates who punished them. They prayed for God to be merciful to the prisoners around them. They prayed for God to be merciful to the jailer who threw them into that jail. And they praised God. They praised God so loudly that even the prisoners heard them. In verse 25, it says here, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. They were not ashamed of praising God. They sang heartily, loudly, even despite their wounds, despite their tiredness and their pain. They sang loudly to God. They praised God for giving His Son to save sinners. They praised God for His protection. The two of them were beaten so badly, yet they are safe. They are alive. They are together. They praised God for people who were praying for them. They were doing exactly what God wants them to do. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 20, give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the attitude that we should have, that every Christian should have. We should always be thankful to God who has given us His ultimate gift, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What else do we need? What else do we want? We have eternal life. We have pardon from God. We are one with God because of His Son. What else do we want? We should praise God. We should praise God not only when we are healthy and well, when things are going smoothly for us. We should learn to praise God when things are down, when our business fails, when everybody is against us. We should learn to praise God even then. And when we learn to do that, when we are able to do that, when we are able to give those praise, sacrifice of praise to God in whatever circumstances we are in, that proves to God, that shows to us as well that we are totally submitted to His will. That we are trusting Him fully. That we are contented in His care and following His will for our lives. Never cease to praise God, whatever your circumstances may be. Kita mesti belajar supaya kita sentiasa berterima kasih kepada Tuhan. Sentiasa menyembah Dia walaupun apa yang berlaku kepada kita. Kita lihat Paulus dan Silas. Mereka dipukul. Mereka dipenjarakan. Tapi apa yang mereka buat? Mereka berdoa kepada Tuhan. Mereka menyembah Dia. Berterima kasih kepada Dia. Mereka tidak fikir bahawa keadaan mereka sangat teruk. Tapi mereka percaya kepada Tuhan. Mereka gembira kerana mereka dipenjarakan untuk Yesus Kristus. Dan kita mesti begitu. Apa yang terjadi kepada kita, walaupun kita sehat atau sakit, walaupun kita berjaya atau gagal, kita mesti senantiasa berterima kasih kepada Tuhan. Mulut kita mesti bersedia selalu untuk berdoa kepada Dia, berterima kasih kepada Dia, menyembah Dia. Bila kita boleh buat begitu, kita menunjuk kepada Tuhan. Kita menunjuk kepada kita sendiri bahawa kehidupan kita ini sudah diberikan sepenuhnya kepada Tuhan. Kita sudah mengorbankan hidup kita kepada Dia. Kita percaya Dia. Kita bergantung kepada Dia untuk kebaikan kita dalam dunia ini dan dunia yang akan datang. The third lesson and the final lesson, that God blesses the sacrificial life. Why are there still Christians on this earth? Why are there churches on this earth preaching the truth about God and the Lord Jesus Christ? because God accepted the sacrifice of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ offered Himself, offers His life to save sinners like us, in obedience to God's will. And He was rewarded. God accepted His sacrifice. That's why He was laid in the grave for 3 days, and on the third day, He was raised to life. The resurrection was proof that His sacrifice was successful. The resurrection was proof that God accepted Him and was willing to forgive us our sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is now in heaven, watching over His people, waiting for us to arrive in heaven one by one. He was rewarded for His sacrifice. And Paul and Silas were rewarded as well. They had suffered much for Christ, but they remained faithful even in His prison. They showed their faith by praying to God, by praising Him. And God rewarded them. Because you see here, even the prisoners were listening to them praying and praising God. They could have been sleeping like the jailer. But God caused them to be awake, to listen to their prayers, to listen to their words of praise. And in a way, Paul and Silas were actually preaching to these people. And then, as they praised God, as they worshipped Him, as they sacrificed for Him, God sent an earthquake. An earthquake so strong that the foundations of the jail were shaken. An earthquake so strong that the gates were opened. And miraculously, the chains of every prisoner fell off. All of them were released. All of them were released, but none of them ran away. Remember the jailer? He was fast asleep. What shook him up? He probably fell off his bed and he woke up. But he did not wake up physically. He woke up spiritually also. He looked around him. He saw these gates open and he thought, hey, all these prisoners have escaped. Finish. I will be punished by the Romans. And he wanted to kill himself. He wanted to end his life there and then. But what did Paul say? In verse 28, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Every single prisoner was there. And imagine a prison. There are probably some in there with Paul and Silas who were condemned to die. Maybe they were murderers there. They were waiting the judgment, waiting to be crucified for their crimes. There were others who were there, maybe for 1 or 2 years or 3 years for whatever crime. Others are awaiting other forms of punishment. All these prisoners had a good reason to get out of the prison. Run for it. To escape judgment of men. But not one of them did. All of them stayed where they were with Paul and Silas. May I suggest this possibility? It is a very big possibility that God saved every one of those prisoners. That all of them, through the witness of Paul and Silas, as they prayed and as they praised God in hymns, these prisoners came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. Remember the dying thief on the cross with the Lord Jesus Christ? When the Lord Jesus was hung on the cross, one thief was hung on the left, another on his right. One of them, on the cross, dying, he came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he asked Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And the Lord Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. The thief had no chance to live a good life, to do good works. The thief had no chance to join a church and learn about the Christian faith. The thief had no chance to be baptized as a good Christian. He had no chance at all. He was dying on the cross with his Lord. And he was saved. And it is possible, very possible, that God blessed Paul and Silas and all these prisoners were saved. That's why they stayed where they were. They did not run away. That is conjecture. We can argue about that. But one thing is certain. God blessed and honored the sacrifices of Paul and Silas by saving the jailer and his family. Remember the jailer? He got hold of Paul and Silas. He threw them into the deepest part of the prison. He put chains or wood on their feet and he fell asleep. He may have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. He may have heard about what happened to this Paul and Silas, that maybe they were not wrong. They were just unjustly treated. But he was not bothered. He did not care about their message. He did not care about Paul and Silas. He did not care about salvation. He did not care about his soul, whatever. He was not bothered. When Paul and Silas were praying and praying to God and singing praise to him, he was fast asleep until God sent an earthquake and shook him out of his spiritual sleep. He woke up and he realized that he was in trouble. That's why he asked the most important question of his life. In verse 30 he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas had the joy of announcing the good news to him. In verse 31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." We can imagine the joy of Paul and Silas. After all that bad experience, the pain, the beating, the unjust treatment, here they see the salvation of precious souls, the souls of the jailer and his family. The family rejoice in coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And in heaven, God and his angels rejoice. So God honored and blessed his faithful servants. They sacrificed for God and Christ. And God honored them. God blessed them. It wasn't a wasted sacrifice. It wasn't a wasted life or wasted experience. Pelajaran ketiga yang kita mesti pelajari adalah Tuhan senantiasa memberkati hidup pengorbanan untuk dia. Mengapa kita diselamatkan dari dosa-dosa kita? Mengapa kita diampunkan oleh Tuhan untuk dosa-dosa kita? Mengapa kita ada gereja? Mengapa kita ada orang Kristian dalam dunia ini? Ini adalah kerana pengorbanan Yesus Kristus disalib, diterima oleh Tuhan. Pengorbanan Yesus Kristus untuk orang, untuk dosa-dosa kita, diterima oleh Tuhan. Itu sebablah kita ada orang Kristian di sini. Ada orang yang diterima oleh Tuhan. Paulus dan Silas, mereka mengorban untuk Tuhan, untuk Yesus Kristus. Mereka dimasukkan dalam penjara, tapi mereka masih berdoa kepada Tuhan, mereka masih menyembah kepada Tuhan. Dan Tuhan memberkati mereka. Tuhan mengirim gempa bumi yang kuat kepada penjara itu. Nah, kita boleh percaya bahawa kemungkinan besar banduan-banduan yang bersama-sama dengan Paulus dan Silas, mereka dengar doa dan persembahan Paulus dan Silas. Nah, kita boleh percaya bahawa mereka semua telah percaya kepada Yesus Kristus. Itu tidak mustahil kepada Tuhan. Nah, kita lihat penjahat yang disalibkan dengan Yesus Kristus. Sebelum dia mati, dia percaya kepada Yesus Kristus. Dan dia diselamatkan. Tidak ada sesuatu yang mustahil untuk Tuhan. Dia boleh buat apa yang dia inginkan. Dan di sini, ada kemungkinan besar. Semua banduan-banduan yang bersama dengan Paulus dan Silas itu menjadi Kristian. Mereka percaya kepada Yesus Kristus. Mengapa? Kerana bila gempa bumi itu berlaku, pintu penjara terbuka, rantai mereka jatuh, mereka ada peluang untuk lari, untuk menyelamatkan mereka. Tapi mereka tidak. Mereka duduk diam dalam penjara mereka. Ada kemungkinan besar semua orang banduan-banduan itu telah percaya kepada Yesus Kristus dan diselamatkan. Tapi tak apa, itu hanya mungkin angan-angan saja. Tapi apa yang kita pastikan adalah bahawa ketua penjara itu diselamatkan oleh Tuhan. Ketua penjara dan rumah tangga dia itu diselamatkan oleh Tuhan. Dan Paulus dan Kristus dan Silas, mereka gembira. Pasti mereka gembira bahawa pengorbanan mereka itu diberkati oleh Tuhan dengan penyelamatan. Keselamatan roh-roh ini yang berharga, yang bernilai kepada Tuhan. Ketua penjara dan keluarganya itu diselamatkan oleh Tuhan. Kerana Tuhan telah memberkati pengorbanan Paulus dan Silas. So in conclusion, all of us here are not cats. We don't have 9 lives. We have only one life to live. Only one life. Some people say we have one life, let's enjoy. Eat all that we can, go wherever we can, do whatever we can. That's why crazy things like bungee jumping are in thing. People want to experience something different, something new. Right? And for actually for life to be meaningful, we want to achieve something. We want to leave something behind that people will see and then remember, oh, this person did, this thing is here because this person did it. That's why we have the pyramids in Egypt. We have our KL Tower and the Twin Towers here. We want to leave signs of our life. Many of us, we sacrifice for our children. We are here today because our parents made sacrifices for us, for our well-being, for our education, and so forth. And so we in turn now, we sacrifice for our children. We want our children to have a good start. We want our children to have a brighter future. There are some people in this world today who are more self-centered. They sacrifice for themselves. They sacrifice their family, they sacrifice their friends, they even sacrifice even their reputation. They don't care. As long as they achieve what they want, their ambitions, their own happiness, and their own satisfaction. But we must beware that these sacrifices may mean nothing. Our children may not appreciate what we have given up for them. Similarly, we do not really fully appreciate what our parents went through for us. Our sacrifices may be meaningless to the people that we are sacrificing for. Actually, we ourselves also are not unsure. We are unsure of what makes us happy. Right? We are unsure of what is fulfilling to us. We can sacrifice this and sacrifice for that, but in the end we are not happy. One day we are sacrificing for a big house, and when we get it, it's just a big house. And then we look for something else, and look for something else. There's no end. There's no end to what we are looking for, because we do not know what we are looking for. Look at the world. They're running round and round in circles. Round and round. Only one person. Only one person knows us better than we ourselves. And that person is God. Because He created us. He knows through us through and through. He made us. He knows us. He knows what satisfies us. A good mother or a good father, when the baby is crying, will give the baby milk, right? You can give the baby bak kut teh. You can give it nasi lemak. The best you can buy. The baby will not appreciate. The baby wants milk. You are dying of thirst. I give you Coca-Cola. You may appreciate it, but it's not good for you. You need water to hydrate yourself. Coca-Cola will dehydrate you. God knows what we need because He made us. If you give your life to Him, you will find fulfillment. Because He knows what you need. He wants us to confess our sins to Him. He wants us to ask forgiveness from Him. He wants us to come in Christ and be one with Him. And when you are one with God, when He's taking care of your life will change forever. Your life will have meaning. Your life will have value. In God's hands, you will not regret your life. Those of us who are Christians, yes, you are saved in Christ. But is that all? Is just living a normal Christian life, doing the bare minimum. Is that enough? In heaven, heaven is full of is a place full of joy, a place full of glory. How much we experience that joy and that glory depends on how much we are living to sacrifice on this earth. Beware of what we are living for on this earth. Are we living for ourselves or are we living for our God? Please turn back with me to John chapter 12. I leave with you these last words from the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 12 verse 24. It says here, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Verse 25. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Verse 26. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. So give your life to Christ. Give your life to God. Totally. Hold nothing back. You will not regret it. God will make full use of it. And you will see the results of your sacrifice. Because God will bless it. Let us close by singing hymn 94.